Thank you all. The redistricting committee will come to order. DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Leek.
Here.
Vice Chair Fine.
Here.
Ranking Member Geller.
Here.
Representatives Andrade.
Here.
Avila.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Byrd. Clemmons.
Here.
Drake.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Brawl.
Here.
Grant. Grant. Jenny.
Here.
Latvala.
Here.
Mariano.
Here.
Umphroy.
Here.
Payne.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Rommel.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Slosberg.
Here.
Thompson. Thompson. Tuck.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, DJ. Members, a few reminders before we begin. Please silence all electronic devices, and if you wish to make a public comment, please fill out a form and turn it into the sergeant's staff. Also, as a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. Members, with this being the second committee meeting, I want to remind you again that this is a noteworthy responsibility for our committees to undertake a thorough educational effort to ensure that everyone has the understanding they need to be able to propose, analyze, and most importantly, vote on legally compliant boundaries. Today, we will review some new updates that have been rolled out on our website for accessibility and public input, as well as discuss some of our map drawing applications' advanced functionality, as we discussed last meeting, and how those tools can assist us in aligning with our constitutional standards for map drawing. Before we dive into the substance of our meeting, I want to take a moment to address an opinion piece that was published last week. While this piece is truly just two UF professors' opinions, it alleges gross inaccuracies and attempts to cast a dark shadow on the work that this committee is undertaking. And I want to take time to correct this on the record today, especially since these individuals made no attempt to fact-check their allegations with our committee first. I know I have received questions, and Representative Geller, Ranking Member Geller, I thank you for reaching out to me. I truly do. I know that I have received questions about this piece and do not want any of our members or constituents to wonder whether this process is being conducted above board, as both the Speaker and myself have been very clear from the beginning that this process will follow all laws and the Florida Constitution. The first inaccuracy in this opinion piece alleges is that we are hiding elections data from public view. This could not be further from the truth, as you will see today in our presentation. This elections data is fully accessible within our map drawing application, with the intent and purpose of it being used to conduct a functional analysis. These functional analyses ensure that racial and language minority groups' ability to elect a candidate of their choice is not diminished, which is required by the Florida Constitution. As we described during our first committee meeting, our goal was to get a mapping application debuted to members and to the public as soon as we could upon receipt of the redistricting data from the U.S. Census Bureau. Staff continued to work with our vendor to ensure their tool's configuration could correctly display the data needed to conduct a functional analysis, and that was updated this past Friday as that functionality was complete. The article also falsely states that we are shielding data from public records request. We are not shielding public records. This contract is written so that the legislature maintains the responsibility of responding to and producing public records, not any vendor or contractor. The article also falsely insinuates that the legislature is using geocoding services. This also could not be further from the truth. There are no geocoding services anywhere within our application, and that technology is specifically not being used in order to protect against favoring or disfavoring an incumbent, a constitutional standard we must follow. Members, as we will all come to experience, there are outside entities that will try to impute their own political desires into our process. Resist, and we will not concede to it. I encourage you to remember this situation moving forward as individuals and news outlets that perpetuate these external political narratives aim to harm the integrity of our process and our members. We'll now transition to the PowerPoint talking points. Let's get through the agenda. Representative Geller, as we discussed, we'll get you some time at the end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving into the agenda, members, like I mentioned earlier today, we are going to look at some of the new updates to our website, as well as some of ESRI's advanced functionality that will help us align with our constitutional standards. As we have been doing, our goal is to continue educating this committee about the standards that will produce legally compliant maps. With that being said, first up, let's talk about the FloridaRedistricting.gov. Members, like we promised during our first committee meeting, as we go through this process and new functionality becomes available, we're going to roll it out publicly as soon as possible. And today, we have some new items on our website that we'd like to share. Ms. Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me get our website pulled up here. So the first item I wanted to address with the committee today is actually a debut of a new page on our website called Submitted Plans. So as I bring it up here, this is the page where all maps that are submitted to our committee will be displayed so that anyone can access them and the reports that are associated with them. A couple pieces of functionality I want to click through to be able to show our goal of making this very user-friendly. First and foremost are the buttons you see here up at the top. These are the respective maps that are currently enacted, so our House, Senate, and Congressional benchmark plans. If you click on those buttons, it pops up the details page that's associated with each of those maps. So you can see here in this chart-like function, there's a lot of the logistical information regarding the map. What you can also see down here are all of the archive records also associated with that map. You're allowed to download those, as well as some of the files are available for uploading into the software as well. Going back to the main page, I'd like to scroll down to kind of the body of this web page. This top section here is the search capability that allows you to search through any of the plans that are on this website. As you can see here, you're allowed to search by plan type, so if you're looking for Senate, House, or Congressional maps. You're also allowed to select from who has submitted the map, so the courts, Senate, public, or House members as well. Currently on here are only constituent maps that have been submitted, but eventually once the committee or members start submitting maps as well, they will also be placed here for the public and members alike to view. You can also search by a plan name or submitted by if you happen to know an individual or a specific plan you are looking for, as well as being able to sort by date, name, submitted type, and plan types. So if I continue to scroll down here, I'll click on this first plan here. Again, you see a similar page with information. One item I'd like to point out here is the web map. This is I will open it here. This is a feature we've added to make these maps very easily accessible. Some of the text files and the dot plan files that are included in the archive section can be downloaded and re-uploaded into your Esri map drawing profile. However, that takes several steps to do, and we wanted to make these maps easily accessible for people who are just trying to search through the website. So you can see here, this individual's map that was submitted is fully displayed, and similar to some of the other functionality on our website, whenever you click on a given district, it drops down the statistics that are associated with it. So again, it's a great way to get kind of a first look at any map that's supported on the website. You can see here, you can scroll through and also view any that are there as well. Moving on, the next page I'd like to look at is actually on our Get Involved page. So we've added a couple things to this page. First and foremost, you know, I think hearing the comments from members after our last committee and making sure that this website is as accessible to people as possible, we've added this button here that says provide public input. Whenever you click on this, it allows members of the public and anyone to fill out and provide commentary in an open text format that comes directly to our committee and will in turn be made available to the public and members for viewing. Additionally, we've added some guidance for folks who are looking for instructions on how to use the Adobe fillable PDF. I think we had heard comments and suggestions that some folks may not be familiar with that or may need help adding their digital signature. So right here below, we have added a step-by-step guide of how to do that, as well as, if you scroll down to the bottom of the website, there's an Adobe icon here where you can download a free version of Adobe Reader so that it is, again, accessible for as many people as possible. The other item I'd like to point out, and this is not available on the website yet, however, it is in progress between the House and the Senate We are working to contract a translation service so that our PDFs can be translated into languages that make it more accessible for other Floridians. Again, that is still in progress, but our goal is to debut that as soon as we can get everything solidified. So, Mr. Chair, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. On the next topic I'd like to discuss today, Ranking Member Geller, recognize?
Yes, I have just a couple of quick questions on that presentation, if I might. You said that the first thing on there, and thank you, Mr. Chair, the first thing on there was the existing maps, the maps that exist today. Does that mean that we're going to be using those as a starting point for the work that the committee has to do and then making adjustments as necessary?
I'll take that question. We're kind of getting ahead of things. That's not really on the presentation there, but no, it doesn't. And as a matter of course, because all of the numbers have changed, the maps that you got were based on data that was 10 years old, right? We're 10 years further along, populations have shifted, and so it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Second question, it said that, you said, not it, sorry, you're not an it, you're a person. You said that it would show all maps that are filed, whether by members, the committee, or the public. Are amendments going to be accessible from that same point, or is there a separate system to be able to view amendments?
Ms. Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, anything that comes through, whether it's the committee process or, you know, once we get to the floor process, will be made available to view on the website.
Including amendments on, is it there, or would they be someplace different?
They will be found there. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, the next topic I'd like to discuss today is focused on some of our map drawing applications, advanced drawing tools, and how they can help us analyze the constitutional standards by which we must make our maps compliant. For those of you who were able to join Legislative University, consider this your 201 course. And for those of you who are not able to join, I encourage you to watch the posted recording. You can find it on myfloridahouse.gov as well as on the floridaredistricting.gov website. What I'd like to do now is walk through the next several slides so we can discuss the concepts and the related map drawing tools, and then I will hand the mic back over to Lita to walk us through our actual demonstration of some of these tools. First off, let's take a moment for a refresher. The Florida Supreme Court has made it clear that Florida's constitutional standards for redistricting have two distinct tiers. In Tier 1, a whole map or an individual district shall not be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or incumbent. Districts shall protect racial and language minority groups' ability to elect candidates of their choice. Finally, in Tier 1, districts shall consist of contiguous territory. In Tier 2, districts shall be nearly as equal in population as practicable, shall be compact, and where feasible, following existing geographical and political boundaries. It's important to remember Tier 1 standards take priority over Tier 2 standards in the case of conflict. However, within each tier, the standards are equally weighed amongst one another. As we dive in, another important concept to keep in mind is that there is no single correct map. There is no such thing as the best map. As seen even in our standards, all decisions must be weighed among one another with the goal of drawing legally compliant maps. We're going to start with Tier 2 standards. So first up, let's talk about, quote, where feasible, using existing political and geographical boundaries, end quote. From the Florida Supreme Court ruling in 2012, they delineated that political boundaries primarily encompass county and municipal boundaries, which are our first two bullets here. The court then went on to say that geographical boundaries are easily ascertainable and commonly understood, such as rivers, railways, interstates, and state roads. In the map drawing application, there are two tools that we will walk through that coincide with the political and geographical boundaries: the reference layers tool and the boundary analysis report. Next up is compactness. In Florida, compactness has been defined by the courts as geographical compactness in relation to the shape of a district. There is no single, quote-unquote, official or best compactness test the courts rely on when reviewing redistricting plans. The compactness measures shown on the screen here are the three scores the Florida Supreme Court supported during the 2012 redistricting cycle. The Rioch, Convex Hull, and Polsby Popper. Each test is unique and places a priority on certain characteristic of a district. Therefore, it is best to view them in tandem and in context of your district, not in isolation. Let's explore these three scores further. A Rioch score takes the area of a district and finds the smallest minimum bounding circle that fits around the district. Like all three of these scores, Rioch is rated on a scale of 0 to 1, with values falling closer to 1, indicating a more compact district. Districts that are circular in shape earn a higher Rioch score. A convex hull score applies a similar principle, but instead of a circle, it uses a polygon. This measure accounts for indentations in districts, and oftentimes a square or rectangular district will earn a high convex hull score. The Polsby-Popper score is a ratio of the area of a district to the area of a circle whose circumference is equal to the perimeter of the district. This score accounts for jagged edges of a district. The more jagged edges that a district has, the larger the circle, resulting in a lower score. There is also another test which is commonly referred to as the eyeball test. Oftentimes it is said that districts that look bizarre or oddly shaped may be evidence of a partisan or racial gerrymanders. And while that may be true in some situations, I would encourage this committee to also remember that the state in which we live and the geography in which we are assigning districts, Florida is just simply an oddly shaped state to begin with. For starters, we're a peninsula surrounded by water on three sides, of which we cannot move. Our counties are often uniquely shaped and may have flags that come off one side of the county, in addition to which very few of them are nice even squares like some counties you find in western states. Compactness scores are used for evaluation within context of that district and as points of reference. The compactness test function in the map drawing application calculates these scores for us for each district. The Florida Constitution mandates that districts shall be as nearly equal in population as is practicable. In our map drawing application, there are two tools to help you view population figures at various levels of geography. The identity tool allows you to select units of geography and see how much population is contained within that piece of geography. And the themes tool, which enables you to apply a color-coded theme across the entire map to which you can have color-coded pieces of geography that indicate population levels in a given area. Now let's move on to our Tier 1 standards. When defining district contiguity, the Florida Supreme Court has said a district lacks, I guess I'm going to have to keep saying that word, contiguity when a part is isolated from the rest by the territory of another district, or when the lands mutually touch only on a common corner or at a right angle. In our map drawing application, our check integrity functionality will evaluate the districts you've created in your map and identify if any are not congruous. The last two constitutional standards allow me to speak to a new concept I'd like to introduce called functional analysis. Last decade, the court said a functional analysis can be conducted to ensure the standard is met, which states we must not deny or diminish a racial or language minority group's ability to elect a candidate of their choice. This functional analysis is conducted by analyzing registered voters, voter turnout, and election results for a given district. Let me be clear. This elections data, as it is known, is not used on the front end to draw districts, but only on the back end as an analysis tool to ensure that a district drawn is based on population protects the racial and language minority as required to do so. Using elections data on the front end of the map drawing process could inherently violate the other Tier 1 standard listed here that prohibits us from favoring or disfavoring a political party or incumbent. This functional analysis data is being made available as part of the reports functionality of our map drawing application. And with that, I'd like to ask Ms. Kelly to walk through these examples in the actual map drawing application. Ms. Kelly?
Let me get our program pulled up here. So here we are in our ESRI map drawing application, and what I have pulled up on screen is our benchmark House district. So this is our currently enacted House district. Again, as the chair mentioned, for those of you who weren't able to attend the Legislator University, we do have that posted both on the myfloridahouse.gov website as well as on floridaredistricting.gov. And I do encourage you to watch that to learn about some of the more basic functionality that will take you through this application. So what I'd like to walk through now are some of the examples that the chair just outlined. And we have worked to tailor them to help meet and align and analyze Florida's constitutional standards. So the first one I'd like to pull up is called the reference layer functionality. You'll find it here on the left-hand side of the column, and you'll see that the reference layers has a drop-down feature. Now I'm going to take our map and zoom in just to be able to demonstrate this a little bit clearer. And I'm going to unfill our district so that it also is a little more clear. What each of these filters allow you to do is to create different filters that overlay on top of the map. So you can see the first one here is the Florida Senate districts that are currently enacted. As I check the next one, it shows up in green as our current House districts. And this third one shows up in red as our current congressional districts. I'll uncheck those. This next one is our primary and secondary roads. The Supreme Court identified major state roads as a good boundary when drawing districts, and so we've made it a very visible layer here with the indicated by the dark red lines. So as you're in creating districts, it's very prominent if you'd like to use this as a boundary for one of your districts. Turning that one on, and for our railroads, I'm actually going to switch our base map so that it stands out a little bit more. The railroads are indicated across the state by these light orange lines, as you can see here. We also have city functionality. Whenever you turn this on, every city is illuminated. You can see these colored in areas that have some cross-hatching patterns in them, and those are the cities across Florida. I can zoom out so everyone can see how they are appear across the state. Now, what's really cool about this one, and I'll come back to this in a second, is that you can also use this level of geography to assign geography as well. While we're here, I also would like to click on the counties layer, which you can see illuminates in bright blue lines. And this last item here, while it takes a second to load, so I'm not going to demonstrate it right now, it's all the water across Florida. So this is lakes, rivers, as well as our coastline. On the east side of Florida, our coastline, as defined by the Census Bureau, goes out 3 miles. On the west coast, it goes out 9 miles. So again, I won't load that for time's sake, but that is quite fascinating to look at. So as you're looking here at reference layers, trying to identify things in which you can create boundaries with, I'd like to click on this Identify tool. This tool is also contained here in this left side column down on the third tab here. And in conjunction with this little blue circle up here, and if I hover over it, it says identify a feature. So to demonstrate this, I'm going to drop down what is called our place layer. And you can see as I hover over the map, it has the cursor turns into a little eye. If I click on one of these colored in cities with the cross hatching, it actually will identify the city here for me. You can see I've clicked on Tallahassee. And as I scroll this column down, it actually will also tell me the population of Tallahassee. So Tallahassee has 196,169 people in it. So say you were drawing with this tool and you say, you know, I want to add Tallahassee to a district. I really like that. That sounds good. What you can do is go down here and select a district, as well as from this drop-down menu here. And you can actually click Assign To right in this window. Now, the program will take a second to load, but what the program automatically does is calculates the boundaries of that city and assigns it to whatever district you've asked it to assign it to. So again, being very respectful of those city-county boundaries, it automatically identifies that. The next item I'd like to look at is the compactness test that the chair mentioned. This is found here in our Review tab and here on the left-hand side. Whenever you click on this, it will pop up the window that goes through each of the three compactness tests that we talked through earlier, and each district has the compactness scores automatically calculated for it. Compactness test, as an FYI, can also be run under the reports window here where it says district compactness if you'd like a version of the report that you can download and save for your purposes. The next item that I'd like to talk about is the check integrity tool, which is found right here next to the compactness tool. If you click on this, it runs a series of integrity checks. Now, in relation to the presentation the chair just gave, we're actually going to look at this last one called connectivity. This is what will tell us if our districts are contiguous. Now, as you can see, I'm coming up with a red X, which means somewhere in my map, I have a district that is not contiguous. So for demonstration purposes, I'm going to zoom out here, and I'm actually going to turn back on the district fills. Now, as you remember, let me turn the cities off for right now. I assign the city of Tallahassee to District 1. So if I click on the details pop-up, it will actually identify the districts for you that are discontiguous. So here in District 1, because as we all know, District 1 is currently over in the Western Panhandle, but I assign Tallahassee to it. Those are two separate parts of the district, which flags in the program. Now, what you can see also happened is as I assigned District 1, Tallahassee to District 1, I inherently created District 8 and District 9, separate geography there. So the program flags that for you as well. So as that pops up, you can go in and correct your districts and click refresh, and it will automatically refresh if you were to have any additional errors. The next item, clicking back over here to the review tab, is our reports. So the VAP summary report, as the chair mentioned, is where we'll find the data that we'll need to run our functional analysis. These three categories down here is where you'll find the collection of this data. It includes registered voters, voter turnout, and election results. Those are primary and general election results for statewide elections from 2012 all the way through 2020. So if you were running your summary report and you'd like to add that, all you have to do is expand the column and you can scroll through and add whichever categories you'd like to your respective report and then run your report. The next report I would like to highlight for the committee is called a boundary analysis report. It's found here under the meets and bounds category. Now, it does take a second to generate, so I went ahead and ran one for demonstration purposes. This is a long list, and it is a list of every single district, and what this helps to identify is the percentage of that district that follows one of the categories that we have here. So it could be city, county, roads, water, rail, or that portion of the district that doesn't follow any geographical or political boundaries. So if you see here, District 7, which is a large coastal county here in the Panhandle, you can see it follows county boundaries 96% of the time, as well as water 52% of the time, which makes sense because it's a coastal district. So again, this is a report similar to compactness scores where it's there's not one benchmark or one threshold that makes a district good or not, but it's used to help understand the percentage of the district that may be in alignment with constitutional standards. So clicking back over to our program here, the next item I'd like to highlight is our themes tool. I'm going to zoom out. So the themes tool is found here on our Create tab. And what this allows you to do, one second, let me turn off our district fills. What this allows you to do is to basically apply color coding across the entire state. You can set your fields here that you'd like it to show, and when you click update, it actually applies a theme across the entire state. So the one that I just applied was dealing with total population, and as you can see here, the color coordinating says that as we go from red to green, the areas become more populous. And so we'll come down to South Florida with some of our more populous counties, and you can see the color differentiations there. You can drop down and obviously select other factors by which you'd want to apply themes, but this is a good visual tool that you're looking, if you're looking to actually look at the state as a whole. The other thing about themes that I'd like to point out, and you can see it as I continue to zoom in here. At the different levels of geography that show in the program, it will indicate the total population, since that's what I've selected here, of those respective geographies. So you can see as I continue to zoom in, now we're getting all the way down to the block level, you can see exactly how many people may live in that respective block. So again, as you're looking at population totals, as you're looking at communities, for assigning to districts, this will help identify the population that goes along with that. Mr. Chair, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, members. I want to open it up to any questions at this point on the presentation. So we're going to have an opportunity. Representative Geller, I know you want to, you have some questions, want to say a couple things. But are there questions about Ms. Kelly's presentation? All right, members, seeing no questions about Ms. Kelly's presentations, is there public comment? Seeing no public comment, let me turn it over to Ranking Member Geller. Ranking Member Geller, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a couple of things. Let me just begin by saying, first of all, Mr. Chair, that you were extremely generous with your time with me when we had the opportunity to speak yesterday, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate that open door, and I think it frankly bodes well for the work of this committee. That was something that I want the record to show, that that communication is taking place. We spoke a little about that article that you spoke about earlier, and my comments on it, I think, were reported, and I think that I tried to indicate that I thought those are questions that were raised. Some of those appeared to me to be legitimate questions, but I wanted to reserve judgment until we had a chance to look at facts. One side of any argument is always persuasive. You indicated to me that there was some kind of a response or rebuttal to it, and I'm wondering, is that in something that's in writing or just the comments that were made when they interviewed people in the press?
Thank you. What I indicated to you was, I believe there was an article out of the Miami Herald that walked through the rebuttal points from the both chambers.
Thank you. And so let me just say that I don't ever believe everything I read in the newspaper. I've said things that didn't look like what I said that have appeared in the newspaper. This wasn't even the newspaper. This was a couple of private individuals, but people with some history. So particularly so that these questions are on the record, I took from it a few things. One had to do with their concern that geo-mapping was available. And just my understanding from having spoken with you is that that is not something that is available for use here in the state, that is, because it's a national software, that's something that some other states may wish to use, but it's not functional on our website in Florida. So do I have that correct?
Yeah, we addressed that also in the opening comments, but that allegation in the article is just plainly false.
So that's important to put that to rest. Thank you. There was another one that said that it was not possible to export anything except maps, that there was some data associated with maps that could not be exported. It can be you, Mr. Chair, but if there's somebody with a more technical answer to it, I'd certainly appreciate it.
I believe I know the answer to that, but I am going to ask Ms. Kelly to address that. Ms. Kelly, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, what the ESRI contract says is the base map. So whenever I was doing the demonstration, I switched it into that light gray map. It's the canvas on which we draw our districts on top of. That is an ESRI work product that they produce with other geographical entities. That is what the contract speaks to. Our maps have the ability to be exported, imported into other software, or likewise imported into our software as long as they're drawn on the census block level. So we do have full functionality to import and export.
And somebody then, if they wanted to take some map and test it with one of those other softwares that were cited in that article, they can do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Those are two important things for the public to understand clearly. The last one that you and I discussed, Mr. Chair, and I hope is under review, I understand there was some kind of a non-disclosure agreement as to certain software. It seemed to me that that non-disclosure might be drawn too broadly, and I hope that some review is underway to see if that can be more narrowly tailored. We understand that people don't want, you know, I'm going to use the wrong word, but their source codes or something to be made publicly available, but I am concerned that there may be some chilling effect that people have when they look at the idea that they may be, you know, violating some kind of an NDA. So I hope that one would be under review. And I just want to close by saying I think it's important that some of these answers are given now. They're given on the record. If there's more to it, if they have further concerns, and I'm not their spokesman, but I've read the article and I read the response article. If there are other issues, we'll continue to raise them. But I want to say that the chair and the committee and the House leadership's willingness to address these, I think, is important. We need public confidence. And before I close, I just do want to raise just a couple of things again that I know.
Representative Kelly, you mind if I address the non-disclosure issue before you move
on? Oh, please, yeah. please. Thank you, sir.
And Ms. Kelly, correct me where I'm wrong here, but regrettably, the article conflates the public records part of the agreement with non-disclosure. It's not a non-disclosure. What that section they're talking about is in the public records section and discusses how the state, who is responsible for public records requests, will process that information and that they are required to give us all information that is the scope of a public records request so that we can process it. It keeps them from going off on their own deciding what they're going to disclose and what they're not. It maintains the state as the sole responsible entity for complying with public records requests.
I can't see we can ask more than that, Mr. Chair. That seems appropriate to me, and I appreciate that answer on the record as well. So to close, I just want to say again, I hope that there will be some change in the posture as to every map counting against our seven-bill limit. And specifically, what I would ask to be reviewed, as you and I discussed, because I want to be clear, it's my hope not to raise things here unless I hear something and have a question that we don't have a chance to talk about. First, the goal here is one we all share. We all want an open process that I hope will result in a fair outcome, and we all want public confidence in what we do, and I think those are things that are shared here, and certainly your open door and your conduct indicates to me that that's the case. But I think we introduce bills that are called repealers. We introduce things that call for memorials to Congress. Those things do not count against our bill slots. I understand we have to manage what may be a very difficult process, and I'm keenly aware, God knows how many maps we're going to get compared to 10 years ago. I do think it's important that we try to carve out whether every legislator, every House member, I should say, is limited to two or three, but we should have bills that don't count against our bill slots. The announcement to that came, frankly, after many or most of us have kind of already committed our seven bill slots. I'm not suggesting that we, have 1,000 House maps introduced by members. I know we can have, as you pointed out, we can make amendments. But in terms of, since the committee can introduce committee bills, committee maps without limit, I would urge that we be given the opportunity, if we're limited to three maps, even two maps each, that those be like repealers or memorials or claims bills outside of our seven-bill limit. I understand that may take some doing to conform to our rules, but I think that's doable. I would urge that again. And most importantly, Mr. Chair, I saw in the very thorough presentation Ms. Kelly made, thank you for that, that there is a place for the public to submit input, and that's a good thing. I still think that we should have a process that I discussed with you that is not what was done 10 years ago. The technology has changed. The COVID has taught us every kind of new approach. But if we had something that allowed the public to submit testimony by Zoom, maybe on a day at a time. In fact, I don't think that the committee needs to all be sitting here. I don't want to criticize the other chamber, but having people have to come to Tallahassee and then putting them in a room three blocks away on Zoom anyway, why should they have to come to Tallahassee to do that? We could hear people in our living rooms, or in the immortal words of the vice chair, sitting in our bathtubs, an image I'm still trying to erase. But we could all, as many of us as possible, the comments would all be transcribed. They'd be available to any member that wanted to read those that wasn't able to attend every day. They could be archived. We could be sitting at home watching it. We're not going to be voting on the bills. We're not going to be, you know, in committee raising our hand. We're just watching public comment. The public could do that from home. The only additional thing I'd say for those people who do not have access to computers or to Zoom or know how to use it, if we said this is Orlando Day or this is Tampa Day, you know, somebody from a different city could chime in, but there should be some location on that day where any member of the public could be at a legislative office or maybe at the county hall or something, where every member of the public who wanted to be heard could come in. There'd be somebody there that would help them talk to Zoom, and they could make their point. I simply think that it's something that would help public confidence, and you told me you would give it some consideration. As I said, I take you at your word, Mr. Chair. I think those two issues are important, and I look forward to seeing where we can get on. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ranking Member Geller. I want to address a couple things there. In the number of bills, and I'm glad you brought up the rules, because I think you were ranking member on the Rules Committee last year. Of course, we can only expand the number of bills during our organization session, which would occur in this case, I think, after the filing deadline. And also, that's a good time to point out that we did expand the number of bills last year. But really, I don't think that's the biggest point. What you guys need to know is that every member of the Florida House of Representatives can file today an unlimited number of amendments to the maps proposed, which means you can file as many maps as you want, regardless of how many bill slots you may have. It's there for you. So the question is, to what end is expanding the number of bill slots? And where I struggle with that is I'm not sure it gets us any place different than we are today. One of the things I want you all to know, and in particular, I want the citizens of Florida and the viewing public to know, is that Joe Geller and I have a wonderful working relationship.
Yes, sir.
And we have had a wonderful working relationship for the 6 years that I've been in here. I don't know, you've been in here like 30, right? But the entire time that I've known Joe, it's a relationship of respect, trust, and openness. And so I want everyone to know that we've got a good process. I think we have folks in Representative Geller and myself who are willing to listen to each other, who are willing to understand where the other side's coming from. And listen, Representative Geller and I don't always end up in the same place, and in fact, frequently don't, I would say. But it is a relationship of respect, and I want to thank you for reaching out to me and talking to me about this.
And thank you for your openness and for your thoughtfulness, and I agree with what you just said completely.
Thank you. Members, I know this is a lot of information to take in, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, the redistricting task is not an easy task. Understanding the foundational concepts that underlie the maps that we will be voting on is a critical initial step, and I appreciate the seriousness and dedication that you bring to this committee. And with that, members, this concludes our committee agenda for today. Vice Chairman Fine moves that we rise unless there's objection. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.